Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, if you would. Mark 4. I've been asked to say a few words. A few is a very indeterminate description. I will try to be brief. You all have been so very, very, very patient with us to listen so carefully over the last few days. I want to take advantage of that just one more time. And to leave you not with so much instruction as I might leave you with some encouragement. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is doing something a little unusual for the people who are accustomed to listening to him. He uses a lot of illustrations called parables. And one of those illustrations he uses is that of seed that is scattered and begins to grow. And I'm not talking about the parable of the sower. I'm talking about the seed that grows in verse 26. Where Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." It's this verse here, Mark 4, verse 27, I want to draw your attention to. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. Growth happens really slowly. If you've never farmed before, that's okay. Maybe you were one of those in kindergarten class. They asked you to save your milk cartons from lunch, and you bring that back, and they rinse it out, and they pack dirt in it and put a little seed. I don't even know what the seed was, probably bean or something. And then, you know, the next day you come back, and you're so excited, and you go to the windowsill, and nothing's happened. And then you come back the next day, and you go to the windowsill, and nothing's happened. And pretty soon you forget all about it until one day one of the kids says, "Look!" And everybody looks and gets up from their desks and they go over and they're just little green things. And I remember we would plant millet in the bottom 40 and we would, there's such a thing as a bottom 40. And we would go out and drill the seed into the ground and sometime later in the spring, just a row of little green things. And there's nothing quite as hopeful to me as a row of little green things. This week, I imagine that you have been hearing a lot of things that hopefully are encouraging, things that will be a blessing to you. They've been a blessing to us. We've been blessed to be with you, my family and I. Lindsay said we've tried to come to encourage. We've been praying about this weekend, but we knew we'd be encouraged. We just didn't know how much. But I am not unaware that there probably have been things that you've heard this weekend that have been hurtful. Whether it's, "Ouch, that's stepping on my toes," because that runs counter to what I firmly believed I was doing that was right, now I think that may be wrong. Or, "Wow, I wish I could go back and do that differently, and I regret the past." Whatever the case may be, I want you to listen to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, that growth does come. Paul says that I planted, Apollos watered, and God gives the growth. He gives an increase. And growth still comes because God promised it. He's committed to it. He's at work. You're planting, you're watering, you're working, and God is working too because he's committed to the outcome. And the process looks really messy. And breaking up the ground and planting the seed, it's a messy business. It's just going to be messy. And not every seed that's planted turns out the way we wanted it to. But God is committed to the outcome, and he is looking to that reward. So look at Psalm 145. I want you to listen to the words of this psalm, because I want to encourage you to have hope for your family, hope for yourself, as we trust in God's wisdom and we delight in his love. Psalm 145, there's a counterpart in Psalm 78 we'll briefly consider together and make some application. But here in Psalm 145, David says, "I will extol you, my God and King." Scott, I may need you up here in a moment. I'm kidding. And bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, O God, and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty. And on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. In verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cries and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. My hope and prayer is that the truth of this psalm will resonate in your heart as you care for your family and parents and children, as you care for each other. Because family is about the Father, and the Father is great. What we see here, just very briefly, is that you have a commitment to blessing the Lord forever and ever, every day. Again, family is about the Father. And so God's going to be great in our home because God is great. And we're going to tell each other about that. And as we tell each other about that from generation to generation, we recognize that our children, you are a gift that we give to the future. A gift in some ways we will not experience ourselves. And what you see here is that we're giving our grandchildren you. You are the gift that we give to people we've never even met. We will never meet until the Lord comes. And so we tell you the great things about God, and we expect you to tell them back to us. And therefore, we will meditate on his glorious majesty, on his wondrous works. We're going to talk about how great God is. And there are a lot of things that we could talk about culture and the world, and all that is really, really important. Because we need to know the dangers of Satan. But I want you to listen to this. Satan knows something about you. He knows that you are dangerous. We've been talking a lot about Psalm 127 this week, arrows in the hands of a warrior. Satan wants you because you get in his way. Yes, Satan himself is dangerous. He's the kind of person who could and would throw a mountain at you if God would let him. He wants to destroy you. But when you resist him, he will flee because he's scared of what God can do in you if you will look to him. And if you remember that he is great, there's no stopping what God will do through you. So we're going to meditate on his glorious majesty and his wondrous works. And we're going to talk about it. The Lord is so good. And family is a time to celebrate that. Family is an opportunity to celebrate that. He is gracious. He is merciful. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. And he holds us up when we struggle and when we're tired and we feel overwhelmed and we feel like we just can't anymore. He promises to hold us up. And he is near to us when we call on him and we make good on our commitments. I want to pay special attention to verses 8 through 9. I'm reminded of a psalm quite similar to Psalm 145. Again, I mentioned Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is similar to what you see in Psalm 145, where generations are speaking to one another. But in Psalm 78, one of the things that we're speaking to one another is not just about God's great works, but about our own stubborn rebellion. Psalm 78 in verse 8, you have one generation telling the next generation that they should not be like their fathers. One of the questions that was asked this weekend that we didn't get a chance to get to was, what was the hardest season of parenting for you and why? And I'm going to tell you that the hardest season of parenting for me was and is when I'm sinning. About year 4 through 6 of our marriage, I was not in a good place. And yes, we went from 2 children to 3 children, And people say, well, now you're outnumbered. Okay, yeah. But it was just that circumstance that was pressing things out of me that were really ugly and really needed to change. Parenting is hard. It's just hard. Love it, but it's hard. But I'll tell you, it is a lot harder when you are not right with the Lord. But if you're with the Lord, and if you're near to Him, and you're trusting Him, and you're keeping your commitment to Him, and you remember that He's great and He's glorious, and there's nothing like just basking in His glory and worshiping Him because you delight in Him, it's going to be all right. It's hard to find strength in the joy of the Lord when the Lord isn't my joy, when I'm not delighting in Him. So yes, parenting is hard, but it's a lot harder when I'm not with the Lord. One more question. What was the most rewarding, or is the most rewarding part about parenting? And to me, it was getting insights into the heart of God as He may see us. I'm going to share with you this story briefly. And I've tried to edit this story a little bit so that I don't embarrass my children. If that comes out. It's just what it is. I asked one child at one point, does it feel good? They had just soiled themselves. We were potty training. No, it doesn't feel good. I don't like it. And this particular child, I admit, I sometimes felt frustration with them because sometimes it seemed like the child just didn't care. They they'd be playing, and we'd ask, do you need to go potty? And they were already, I'm poopy. Okay. How long have you been poopy? And they don't tell time, so they don't know. But they'd already soiled themselves, and it just didn't seem to faze them. Some of you have been there with your children. And I remember one day that we were helping to unload groceries from the van, and this child just kind of, buddy, we got to go. Let's go. And so took him potty and take him upstairs, and it was too late. They'd already wet themselves. And so here I am, and I'm helping to try to gently peel off wet clothing from their little legs. Does it feel good? No, it doesn't feel good. I don't like it. I said, that's okay. Let's just try again, okay? Okay. Do I get a jelly bean? No, you went potty in your underwear. Next time, right? Right. I'll do it next time. Put the child in the shower, get him some clean clothes. There's a moment of snuggling and comfort, and the child helps me pick out their pants and put everything on. And is it better? Yes. Comfy, cozy, warm. Cozy. I said, good. You let me know next time, right? Right. And then I'll run, and we'll go potty. Okay. And I remember the look on this child's face as they started marching down the stairs, and they turned around and looked me in the eye and said, thanks, Dad. And how many times do we just not care? And we stand there in our filth, and God says, I just need you to come and tell me. And I need you to come, and I would clean you up, and I would set things right. And I'm not saying that what I feel is a reflection of what God feels, but as I read in the scripture, and I see that God delights to cleanse His children, and He is eager and longing for us to come to Him. And you get insights like that in parenting. God loves us, and He wants to cleanse us. And like I said, one of the hardest times in our parenting, in our marriage, was when I wasn't right with the Lord. And when I confessed and repented and turned things around, things are improving. And I can only say, thank you, Father. And He deserves our thanks. He is a faithful, gentle Father. He makes clean His children. He wants to train us to do right. He wants to make us clean. But the thing is that growth just takes time. In Romans 5 and verses 1 through 5, and I'm not I will. I'll pause to read this. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope for the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." And we may think about this passage particularly in relationship, in our relationship with God, but I want you to think about it as parents and as children, as you're growing and you're feeling all the growing pains that Micah prayed about this evening. A few things to consider. God has made us right through our trust in him. And that means that it's going to be our trust in him that's going to continue to help us. So parents, you just keep on trusting God. He's gotten you this far. You keep trusting him. You're not going to get it right every time. We don't, but we trust him. And peace is going to come into you and into your home as we put that trust to work. And we trust in what he's done and what he's still doing in us and in our families. And so as maybe you're putting into practice in the coming days and weeks and months, things that you've learned here, and you go, "I just don't see a lot of growth yet, and this isn't working out right." Just trust. Roll little green things. You're just looking for little changes over time. Keep on putting it into practice what God has said to do. And God's grace is going to help us to endure and to stand because he keeps his promises. Just like the promise of a harvest and of the fruit that comes from the little row of green things. And so we hope and we rejoice because we're doing what's good. Parenting, growing, repenting is hard, but we're going to keep on doing what's good. And we have a reason to hope because God always keeps his promises. And he is near us. He's committed. He loves us. And if there's any doubt at all that God loves you and your children and loves your children more than you love them, just keep reading Romans 5. But I want to point your attention to one last passage in Romans 15, and this will be where we conclude. In Romans 15, verses 4 through 7, I want to encourage you to consider that it is the scriptures that are going to help us to endure. In verse 4, Paul says, "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Paul's writing this thinking about Gentiles, thinking about Jews who are now Christians and they need to mature, and some are of greater maturity than others in particular areas, and think, well, that's just where we are as a family. I've got a lot of growing to do. I'm more mature than my children. But we got to be in harmony. And the scriptures are going to show us how to do that. And so I'm going to listen to the Father. He goes, "Listen, I want you to listen carefully now. I know there are a lot of different ideas out there about how to do right. And some of them lead to positive outcomes. But only God can get us to where God wants us to go. So listen to his instruction and follow through. Because only he can instruct us and encourage us." And so you read the old stories. You read this ancient text. It was written down not for them. It was written down for you and for me. And in verse 4, he also says that we should follow through with what God has told us because it gives us hope. I know where this is headed. And therefore, as we live in harmony, the harmony that God gives us, even in our homes, will bring glory and honor to him together. That is, as our children are growing up with us, my wife answered that question differently. She said the one of the greatest joys about parenting is the fact that you get to raise up your brothers and sisters in Christ. You get to raise up your fellow workers and your fellow soldiers, and they'll surpass us, and they'll go on to do great things in the name of the Lord. But we get to raise them up. And so with one voice, we'll get to glorify God. And so we welcome them. Just as we want God to welcome us. Because Jesus says, "Do not prevent the little children from coming to me." So we end with that, and I hope that this weekend has been a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. It's been such a blessing to us. If you are not a child of God tonight, then God is calling. The Father is saying, "Come to me. I want to bless you. I would not deny you coming to me. I want to cleanse, and I want to make you right, and I want to get you ready for what's coming. I'm going to train you. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And so if you have a need in any way to come to the Father tonight, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?